I'm Neil.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Ronnie.
I'm Daisy's dad.
I'm Daisy's mum.
And I'm Daisy's grandpa.
In 2018, Daisy was diagnosed with regressive autism.
She gradually lost all of her speech and began to show typical autistic traits.
She'd spin in circles, avoid eye contact, and make loud monotone noises.
This was a huge shock, as up until this point, Daisy had been speaking in 7 or 8 word sentences.
And had memorised pretty much 20 to 30 books.
Since then, we've all been on a journey of discovery.
In this podcast, we'll talk about that journey.
And explore the impact autism has had on all of us.
The lows.
And the highs. This is the story of Daisy.
And me.
Episode 3, Different, Not Less.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Daisy and Me, the podcast. And we've got a really good guest today. Yeah. I'm really excited, and because some of the things she was saying, again, every time we get guests on, they just say things like, oh, yeah, you do the nod factor thing.
Mm. Chloe Hayden.
Yeah.
She's a young autistic woman from Australia, but she's got, she posts sort of motivational videos. She's autistic and she talks about autism in girls, and she's got like a mad amount of followers on TikTok.
Yeah,
still don't know what TikTok is, if I'm honest.
Well, I love TikTok-y. I like the TikTok.
Yeah.
I used to like Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
They were little licorice things.
Yeah.
But the TikTok must be a thing on from that. Yeah. Probably just added sugar.
Yeah, I know. But she's got loads of followers on the TikTok.
Oh, and brilliant.
Yeah, but she's fantastic. And actually her whole outlook is, her motto is different, not less. Which is just a great, when you think about it, it's just a great way of framing anything from being autistic to being the parent of someone who is autistic to being the grandparent or whatever.
Yeah.
Because everything that happens to you in life is different, but it doesn't have to be less.
No. Mm. No. And of course, this is something that we've talked about before. Right back to Carrie, when she was saying magnificently autistic, you know, wonderfully autistic.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is almost rejoicing a wee bit in what this wee gem we've got in front of us.
So, and I think that's particularly at the moment with how Daisy is at the moment. So I think we talked last week about how we're seeing her interests coming through, so in the phonics and numbers and letters. So before Daisy had her regression, she had a real interest in books. And then when she regressed, all of that went. I think we were quite upset by that because we both really liked books when we were growing up. But actually what we're seeing really coming through at the moment is that interest, and it has completely exploded, hasn't it, with how she is. So just things like, and I know for a 5.5-year-old, it probably doesn't sound amazing, but she can now sequence all the letters of the alphabet. You bought her a puzzle, didn't you? A 1 to 20 puzzle, and you asked her to line them all up. 1 to 20, no problems whatsoever. And her engagement is just unbelievable. So just even sitting with her looking at a book and saying, so this is something that one of her therapists has been doing with her. I see Pepper, who do you see? Can you see George? Points to George and pointing to the characters. And I haven't had that engagement with her for, I can't even remember the last time. And it's so wonderful. It really is.
Yeah. The new routine we have got now when I have her after school is that she has a wee bit of iPad. Obviously, she has to have chocolate.
Yeah.
But that's just part of the deal.
It's part of the deal for Daisy now because, you know, if you didn't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But now we've got this thing. She has a wee look at her iPad and then she wants to go for a drive in the car.
Yeah.
And I've noticed over the last few times, I used to give her my phone so she could watch, and she's into these alphabets, you know, A, Apple. And all. Now she takes so much notice of the road and I can point things out to her. Here comes a river. Can we look for some horses? And she started to look out and engage outside,
And I think that's the bit that we've sort of missed, haven't we? Daisy's been in her own world and you're sort of constantly fighting to be there with her, but there's a connection now and there is a real connection. You're able to speak to her and you know she's taking everything in, but not only that, she's actually responding in her own way. She's not verbally responding, yeah, but she is responding, and it's just so lovely to see that development, isn't it? It's just brilliant.
Yeah, and actually... what you're describing, that's not a sort of a typical thing that would happen after school, that you'd, you know, the iPad and the chocolate might be, but the fact that you go for a drive and that is, again, different, but not less, because actually it's as fulfilling. I mean, the other day, which was lovely, and actually it was slightly inspired by Kevin, our first guest this series, Kevin Chapman, who tweeted a video about his stepson, Andy, who loves going through the car wash. And it just reminded me how much Daisy loves going through the car wash. Mm. And I, the other day, I was out getting something from the shop and I just rang you and said, would you ask our daughter if she likes to go to the car wash? And I just hear the other end of the phone, Lou's asking. And Lou just went, oh, yeah. She said yes.
Like, she did. Yeah, yes.
Straight away, yes.
Yeah.
And she got ready. She came out to the... And we just went to the car wash. I mean, I'm not someone who... cares about how clean my car is.
I was going to say you haven't done that very often.
No,
have
I know.
You certainly haven't done with the car you borrow off of me.
Yeah, but you know,
and of course you don't know where the fuel cap is either.
Yeah, no, but that is your responsibility.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm just a named driver.
I don't know how she does that with her head. It gives me a headache. A daddy. What are you
going to
ask?
But I think as well is that. Getting a reaction back, because you remember that right when you go right back, let's know, but there was nothing, you weren't getting anything. It was maybe sometimes wee shows of anger, but now she's just engaged, and I think it brings out the best of us.
Yeah, you
know, I think we actually go right, and it's wee things like we know she's listening to us. If we are chatting about her, she's you'll hear her smiling. Mm. If you say she's beautiful and all this, she loves that, and yeah, she knows she's been talked about, and we've got to remember that.
We do have to be careful, because again, I think we've talked about this before, it's very easy when you have a child that's non-verbal to, one, forget to talk to them, but also forget that she can hear and understand everything that you're saying. So we're making a really conscious effort at the moment to really, I think, be aware of that, aren't we? And just try and have conversation with her and involve her in things, even at dinner time, because that's what we used to do. And I think we just need to remember that she is taking it all in. And she can be part of our conversation, yeah, like we can be part of hers. I think that's the bit we need to remember, because we need for her to feel included. That's the other thing I'm always mindful of.
Yeah, it always reminds me whenever we talk about how we speak to each other around Daisy and how we speak to Daisy, is that feeling when initially, right back in the start, when they started talking about how we needed to frame sentences to Daisy and how we needed to keep them as simple as possible. And I remember thinking, I don't think we do. No. I think she gets everything, but I get why they were saying it, because we need to try and improve her language. But everything that you say to her, no matter how complex it is, she's taking it in. The difference is that you just don't always get something back. But that's the other huge positive that's happening this week, is that we're getting a lot more word sounds, aren't we?
Yeah, so it's just this last few days. So she has been saying mamma, 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 and pepe, pepe, pepe. So
the two most important people in her life.
Pepe's come before daddy. Yeah. But actually, that's what she did when she first started talking, when she was learning to talk, and she's doing that again. And it's really difficult, because in my heart, I'm getting all this excitement and I'm thinking, this is it. And then I have to sort of slow myself down a bit and think to myself, okay, well, this is brilliant. This is what's happening now. And we're going to just work with this while we can. We have to, I'm trying not to have unrealistic expectations, but at the same time, I'm trying to be hopeful about it. You can't help getting excited when you hear, it's a whisper. It's not a clear like she used to. But I keep thinking, all those phonics, they must be doing something, yeah, listening to all those alphabet songs every single day. It's got to be doing something.
Yeah, I think the repeater thing. But just to go back to the thing that I've learned from doing this is, remember that feed the obsession, and the whole thing about living in the now. So right now, Daisy has got this routine of come to the house and going out in the car, right?
Yeah.
So you don't back off of that for me. I just say, right, okay, that's what's required. And we do that in a month, in a week. It might change again. So then we go, she might want the trampette out the back or whatever, or just go back to kind of, just watching the iPad again. So we don't stop for what we want. We actually feed, I mean, within reason. Apart from the sweetie tin.
Yeah. I mean, it's improved your driving no end, hasn't it?
You know what? I have seen bits of Cambridgeshire I didn't know existed before. And I think Daisy's that. You know, she's been that. It's been great. She's enhanced my life. Yeah. But the thing that I'm doing now that probably I didn't before, when she was in the car, I don't think I conversed with her.
Yeah.
You know, I would just say, you're right there, darling. But now I see, there's a big truck, and it's a white truck, and I describe it to her.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, all right, so I come in, and of course our grandma yaps, talks all the time. but it's like, it's just conversing, you can't use the normal word, but conversing in a natural way.
Yeah.
Hello, I love you. I could imagine her not allowed to meet you, a transitioner in a cave, a deeper cave, right on top of a hill. Bits it, running plenty.
You do it. I think you do it when they're babies. I know that sounds strange, but you end up talking a lot by yourself when you've got a baby. And I think we've said before in the podcast, there was a real gap of time where I just stopped doing that because there was nothing coming back. And I think slowly we're now, that's it. We seem to be talking all the time. We're talking about what she's got on her dinner plate. We're talking about what's going on outside. We're talking about what she can see in her books. And I think actually all of that, it's like a bit of a cycle, isn't it? There's an improvement and a development, and that's meaning that we're doing more with her, and all of those things are constantly improving and developing her. I know that sounds, but I think it's all helping, isn't it? It's
and going back to the whole thing of it you know, it being different but not less. I think the sort of positive feeling you get because she's starting to sort of talk again, it feels lovely. And
yeah.
And we've talked about it in the last couple of podcasts. We feel like we might not always be, but we feel like we're in a really good place at the moment. She's doing really well, and you just sort of see great things coming back from school. And again, if you compared it to someone who's neurotypical, it might seem like less. But it's not. It's just different.
It's actually more in many ways. Know it's even more because it feels so much more rewarding. And all those little things, again, you get so much more joy from. But I think thinking about the sort of the different but not less, it makes me think about communication with her as well. And that's something we need to think about, is that, again, Daisy potentially may get some of her verbal communication back, but she may not. And actually, it's about us recognising and acknowledging that even if she can't verbally communicate, there will be other ways that she can. And that is different, but it's not less. In fact, it's just as, if not more, important.
It's Daisy.
It's Daisy.
And Skye put something, Skye's a therapist, and she gives us these fantastic reports of what she's done when she goes into school. And Daisy wasn't quite responding, but actually turns out she wanted a hug, you know. And so, and actually the same thing happened yesterday. She was up at the table I just sat down, because I'm aware sometimes she doesn't want you to sit down when she's watching that. So, but I just sat down and so she started leaning in and then eventually got onto my lap. And, you know, it was that progression. And I think that's, again, it's learning every day with her, that, you know, and spotting the signs. For instance, she was tired yesterday, and when she's playing with my old skin at the back of my hand, you know, it's sometimes, but she started just a wee bit nipping, and you know then, You know, she's tired and she's ready for home.
Yeah, and we might get, we were sort of saying, we're sort of bracing ourselves a bit at the moment. We've had a few bad nights, haven't we? Sort of half one till half four nights. But also there's been another big change which has started today. So we've sort of briefly touched upon toilet training, which we started a couple of years ago, was quite successful but went out the window. And this time round hasn't been quite so successful, so we've decided we need to change it up a bit. So we've made the decision today to remove the nappies completely. So they were above her knickers. And now they've gone completely, haven't they? And already this morning, there was a bit of distress, wasn't there? Because it felt different. She's also, which in some ways is positive, is holding on, which means that she knows that she hasn't got a nappy on. I think we're going to end up with quite a few accidents, which is fine. Yeah. But we're bracing ourselves for a bit of unsettledness over the next few weeks, aren't we?
It'll be interesting because she, like you said, she does know something's changed. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just how she adjusts to that. And, you know, I think it was a good time for us to do it because I've removed my nappies as well.
Although he did say earlier this morning he'd quite like to wear a nappy, you said this morning.
Yeah, I did say that, yeah. It was a flippant comment and I don't stand by it.
Oh, wow. I think that's a good time for us to go to our guest then.
Yeah, so Chloe Hayden, who is on Twitter and TikTok as Princess Aspien, Aspien, who talks all about her autism and sort of how it manifests itself, but also motivating young women and girls with autism to talk about it and trying to highlight the fact that young women and girls are underdiagnosed and making sure that gets seen to. You and I spoke to her a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, I think I started by asking her why she started to put videos on TikTok.
Yes, so I started making YouTube videos. I actually started blogging before I started doing anything else. And the reason I did it is because I got diagnosed as autistic when I was 13. And at that time, autism was something that was so misunderstood, especially in autistic girls. I'd never heard of the word before. I never met anyone else who was autistic before. So I started blogging because in typical Gen Z fashion, I was like, I am sad and I'm scared and I need to vent my feelings to strangers on the internet. So I did that. And as I started venting my feelings and stuff, people started venting their feelings back and I started to meet more people that were also autistic and who would also go through the same things that I did and also didn't have anyone else to, you know, to relate to feel like they were connected with. So when I started doing that and realizing there was so many more people out there that who had been through the exact same thing that I had gone through, just because there was no one out there that was like us, who was advocating us and outwardly living their lives and boldly proclaiming, you know, this is who I am, this is who I'm supposed to be. I was like, okay, well, no one else is doing it, so maybe it's my job.
Chloe, when I've been reading a lot about you, what's slightly disturbing was the fact that you were advised, your parents were advised to homeschool you because you weren't getting on at school. There was bullying as well. I'm interested, did you feel different, Chloe, at school? Did you, because your diagnosis was 13, did you feel outside of everyone else?
And I felt like that since I was a kid. Like, I have so many parents say to me, like, oh, I don't want to let my kid know that they're autistic. Like, when's the right time to let my child know that they're autistic, that they have ADHD, that's this, that, or the other? Like, dude, your kid already knows that they're autistic. Your kid already knows that they're different. They're going to go through their entire lives feeling different. I have never felt like everyone else in my entire life, like in kindergarten, like as a like 4-year-old, I knew that I was different. I didn't know the word for it, but I knew that I was different and I knew that I didn't fit in with anyone else. I just didn't understand that there was a label for it. So I went through my entire life going, I'm weird, I'm strange, I don't fit in, I came from an alien planet and I'm not like anyone else. I knew that I was different and I just didn't know that there was a word for it.
Yeah, just to go into that a bit more, Chloe, that's what I'm interested in, trying into a wee bit into Daisy's mind is, you knew you were different, you couldn't label it and you couldn't explain it to anyone else. Did your parents have a suspicion themselves? Did they realise there was an issue?
My parents knew that I was different, but again, autism was something that was very misunderstood when I was growing up. they'd heard of the word autism before, but they heard of it in terms of like Rain Man and like What's Eating Gilbert Grape and stuff like that. They didn't think, you know, their little girl could be like that because she wasn't like them. So to my parents, they used to always call me their quirky little genius child. It was never, this is Chloe, she's autistic. It was never, this is Chloe, she has sensory issues, she has sensory processing disorder, she has, you know, fine motor skills that don't work very well. It was, you know, this is Chloe, she's a bit weird, but she's really good at these things. That's it. There was never anything else. It was just, this is Chloe, she's different. We don't know why, but she is.
The late diagnosis thing seems to be pretty universal. Obviously, you're in Australia and we're in the UK, so our systems will work differently and there'll be different levels of care and quality of care. But the late diagnosis, and particularly of girls, is universal. I mean, what is it about that, autism in girls, that sort of, is it the masking? Is it the fact that people kind of dismiss it more in girls? Why is there so much late diagnosis?
It's a little bit of everything. It's partially the masking. Autistic women tend to be very self-aware and tend to know that they're different. Females in general, the entire idea of being a woman is you have to fit in with your other girls because otherwise you're going to be an outcast. You're going to go like, oh, you're weird. We don't want to hang out with you. When you're an autistic girl, you know that you're different, but you're going to do everything you possibly can to try and fit in. And the way that we do that is by masking, is by pretending to be someone else. So we pretend to be other girls. We pretend to be the popular girl at school. My biggest thing was pretending to be fictional characters and like YouTubers that I would watch. And I would do my job of doing this so well that other girls would think it was just my personality and be like, oh my God, you remind me so much of like whatever YouTuber I was pretending to be at that time. And like, to me, that was like the ultimate compliment. I'm like, I'm doing my job so well. So partially it's masking. Another massive thing is currently the criteria for an autism diagnosis is very, very stereotyped. Even like you have a look at like psychologists and doctors and people whose job is this, who've studied this. It's still so stigmatized towards male-oriented autism traits that autistic girls either don't showcase or have learned to hide and mask and mimic other girls, other people, so we don't showcase those things. I've had friends that have said that they couldn't get a diagnosis because they were making eye contact with the doctor. I've had friends that said that they couldn't get a diagnosis because they were very verbal and very articulate. Things that are completely not even autism traits in the slightest. And doctors and psychologists say, oh, you can't be autistic because this, this, and this. A lot of autistic women end up getting diagnosed, misdiagnosed with depression, with anxiety, with BPD, all these other things, when in reality, it's more than likely just an autism diagnosis.
What's been great about your TikTok videos is like, as you're getting feedback, I read the Guardian article about you, Chloe, and you're getting feedback from professionals, professors and everyone saying, thank you for these because I'm learning as a professor and a doctor how to interact with autistic people, which I thought it's brilliant, but it's also an eye-opener in the sense of the educative side of things. There's a long way to go. You know, these are really clever people in the medical world and they're still learning.
Massively. And that's one of the biggest things that I've heard. And I, you know, my job is being a motivational speaker. I go around and speak to schools and stuff. I've done several talks to professors, to the Senate, to, you know, to people who should know better about this sort of stuff. And the feedback that I get from them is always so bizarre to me. It's like, this is your job, man. Like you studied this. I'm just a 23-year-old chick who knows bugger all. And I'm teaching you stuff. Like, dude, you need to do your job better because the fact that I'm teaching you stuff and I know nothing and I'm teaching you stuff about, like, it's crazy. And the other thing is most of them are lovely and are very, like, awesome, like, let's listen to the autistic people. But we have such a stigma in society at the moment that people don't even want to listen to the autistic people themselves. Like, I don't like the term has autism, you know, the whole identity first person, first language. I say I'm an autistic person. I am autistic. I don't have autism. I don't carry it around in a handbag with me. I can't take it off like a jacket at the end of the day. I use that language and it's language that's comfortable for me. But you have a look at journalists, you have a look at psychologists, you have a look at teachers. It's drilled into them when they are going through school to use person-first language. So if I say, hi, like, I'm Chloe, I'm autistic, they'll be like, no, you're not autistic. You have autism. You know, like, you've heard of, like, mansplaining? They're, like, neurotypical explain to me, like, my own thing. I'm like, dude, I am autistic. I know who I am. Like, you don't have to explain to me. Like, let me autism explain to you. Yeah, the whole idea of like, man, society does not get autism. So the fact that I am actually getting people that are, you know, qualified now is very, very exciting. That they're actually, you know, they're eager to make that change and to make that change based on actual autistic people.
How important do you think that visibility of autistic people is? Because actually what you're doing is being out there, you're saying, I am autistic, this is me, I'm going to talk about my experience. But there's not a great deal of people that come before you that have done that, particularly with girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's massive. It's something that is, it's a shift that's starting to happen. And there are so many more autistic people out there now that are starting to actually let their voices be heard who are refusing to be silenced by those people who say like, oh, I know everything about autism, but don't actually aren't autistic themselves, you know. It is so important because you can, you know, you can be a professor, you can be a professional, you can be a teacher, you can be a doctor, you can have read all of these fancy books and gone to school for a long time and spent lots of money to learn all of your fancy facts. But at the end of the day, you will never understand autism the same way I do. You will never understand my brain because of a book that you've read. It is so important to actually have genuine, actual autistic people here to actually, you know, be the ones that are in charge of it, that are actually the ones speaking about our minds, because at the moment other people doing it for us, and it's backwards. It doesn't make any sense.
As we've done the podcast over the last year and a bit, Chloe, we've learned what Daisy experiences, sensory overload and everything, and how we can spot it and how we can help her along with it. What are the sort of symptoms, or not symptoms, wrong, what are the things that happen to you? You're talking there about you won't know what's in my mind. What kind of things happen to you? Do you get sensory overload, for instance, or are there other things that affect you?
Absolutely. Sensory overload is a massive thing that I have to deal with. When I was younger, I got it quite badly. I would get it to the point where I would have seizures and fits if there was any bright noise, bright lights, loud noises, lots of crowds. It would get so bad where I would pass out, I would vomit, I would fit. It was just not a good time. Now I've learned myself, and I know my triggers and I know my limits, and I know how to deal with these things so I can function, so I can have a mostly normal job. But it will get to the point. So if I've been working like nonstop for a few days, or, you know, I'm an actor as well, so if I've been on a film set for a few days nonstop, or if I've been doing a lot of talks, if I've been traveling, I've been doing this, that, and that, I can feel that my brain is starting to get overwhelmed. And again, masking, I'm good at keeping it in. I'm good at going, oh, everything's fine. And then as soon as I'm in my safe place, like, I'll walk in the door and I'm out. Like, I'm dead. I will not speak to anyone. I will retreat to my room. I will turn off the lights. I will put on like a movie that was my favorite movie from when I was like four years old, and just like retreat and be like, no one talked to me, no one interacted with me, I don't exist anymore. And these moments can last from like an hour up until a week. And it's just my brain saying, hey girl, you've gone through a hell of a lot today or this week. You need to vibe, you need to just chill out for a bit. And that's just like a typical needing a break. But then there'll also be times where sometimes it just pops up completely out of the blue. Like, I'll be vibing. Like, I'll be like at a concert, at a party. I get invited to parties. I don't get invited to parties. I'll be somewhere in public. And I'll be somewhere in public and I'll be vibing. I'll be like, life is good. And then suddenly, like, my brain will be like, hey, those lights are really bright. Hey, that noise is really loud. There's like a lot of people here. And suddenly sensory overload. And I'm like, I need my noise cancelling headphones. I need to find a quiet place. I need to like run into like a bathroom so I don't like pass out in the middle of the floor. It's hard. And being an autistic person in a neurotypical society it's not an easy job. But the more that you start to learn yourself and understand who you are, the easier it gets.
Neil, just to come in there, isn't that fascinating what Chloe's saying there, that it pops up? And we see that with Daisy. Daisy can, yeah. We can take her to a fun fair or something, Chloe, and she's fine. Mm-hmm. And then something will happen and it's just too much. And you have just brilliantly explained for us that idea of it popping up. It's not there all the time, but it comes and kind of boils up.
It literally happened yesterday. We were at the park and just out of nowhere, Daisy's in the swing. She just starts shutting her eyes. She doesn't normally do that. And I think what's key with us as parents is spotting that, particularly because she's young and she can't take herself away. But she just shut her eyes. So we just decided, right, okay, let's get her out of here. Let's go somewhere quiet and let's chill her out. But it's what as a parent, what's really, what's really heartbreaking is seeing those moments from the outside, because you're clearly, when you're going through that, having really tough time, but all you want to do as a parent is just help. What can we do to help?
I think the fact that you were able to kind of find those signs, and the fact that she was closing her eyes, like the fact that you were able to go, like, this is a key sign that things are starting to get to a place that maybe is a little bit negative for her, is such a massive thing. And she's not at it. How old did you say she was?
5.
Okay, so she's not at a place yet. You know, she's still a kid. She's still a baby. She's not at a place yet where she's going to be able to identify what those feelings are in herself. The older she gets and the more she's able to start to understand, when I start to feel this, it means that this stage is going to happen, which is going to lead on to this, which is going to lead on to this, unless we can intervene here. Starting to, first of all, identify that yourself, when she can outwardly showcase it, is great until she's able to say or showcase in her own way, hey, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Hey, I'm feeling like I need a break. But it's listening. And whether a child is verbal or nonverbal, listening is the key thing, because they're going to be able to tell you exactly what they need in their own way.
The thing that we've had as well is we've talked as parents and grandparents, Chloe, is the fact that, me and my daughter-in-law, Daisy's mum, we feel instantly when we're out and about with Daisy, and maybe Daisy's maybe just doing her thing, we feel the need to tell everybody she's autistic. You know, we do that thing. And I just wonder if that's common. It's almost like, right, before the elephant even comes into the room and gets the key to the door, we're just going to nail this and say that the reason that, you know, she's autistic. Is that helpful, do you think, in getting the message out?
I think, unfortunately, at the moment, it's something that people have to do. Like, as a parent, like I said, I wasn't diagnosed until I was older, so my parents never had to do that for me. However, it's like I have parents that I meet that do have to do that. And the sucky thing is, it is something you have to do at the moment, because the way that society works is, if your child has a meltdown, they don't see it as that's an autistic child having a meltdown, because their whole world is crashing around them. They see it as that's a small kid having a tantrum because they're not well behaved. You know, if a child is upset at this, they go, it's a tantrum. It's emotional based. It's bad parenting. They don't go, maybe the child's autistic. Maybe there's something else going on. And at the moment, it is something that parents have to do. The fact that parents feel the need to say, my kid's autistic, so sorry if they act autistic, sucks. I would love to live in a society where parents, you know, people in society see a kid that is acting a little bit different, because everyone's a little bit different. And, you know, they see a kid that's acting a bit different, that is, whether it's that they're in sensory overload, whether they're stimming, whether they're having an anxiety attack, a meltdown, whatever it is, that they don't go immediately, that kid is weird, that kid is dangerous, that kid is having a tantrum, that kid is, you know, poorly parented. They just go, hey, that kid might have extra support needs. If the parents need help, I'll be there to help them. If they don't, that's fine. It's not my job to judge them. That kid's going through stuff, and that's fine.
That's really interesting you say that, because before Daisy was diagnosed with autism, she, we were the kind of parents who might cast a sort of side eye at a kid acting up, like you say. Now we are so much more tuned in to when another child might have extra needs, and so much more tuned into the parent and what the parent's going through and what the child's going through.
I think the whole family like that as well.
And that experience is so key to try and unlock that door. And actually, it goes back to what you're doing, is getting the message out there so that people have that realization that the kid isn't just behaving badly. There might be extra stuff going on. And actually, it plays into your, I just wanted to mention your fantastic motto, different, not less,
yes,
which is just a brilliant way of putting it, because you hear all kinds of different, you know, mottos around autism. But actually, it does sum up that whole thing of, I'm not less than you because I'm autistic. I'm just different.
Yeah. And that's why I created this model in the first place, the whole different, not less, because at the end of the day, every single one is a difference. Every single one of us are just a little bit funky in our own way. Like, you know, some of us struggle with reading or writing or math. Some of us don't have mums or dads. Some of us have, you know, physical differences. Some of us are autistic, and every single one of us are different. If we were all the exact same, our world would be so boring and so bland and so colourless. And I do not want to live in a world like that. I can guarantee none of us do. People that are normal, people that are boring, people that fit in don't make a change to the world. People that are like, oh, I'm just going to do what everyone else is doing. No one creates change doing that. No one does anything exciting doing that. If you have a look at anyone who has ever made a difference to the world, they were freaking weirdos, man. Like, they were wacky. And I can guarantee they were going through stuff. Like, these autistic kids, these ones which parents are looking at now going, they're a bit weird, like, fix your kid up. They're going to be the kids that change the world one day if we let them work to their advantages, if we let them go to the things that make them excited, that make them tick, which make them spark. If we look at their differences and the positive sides of their differences rather than this kid has sensory issues, this kid has this going on, this kid has this part going on. If we look at the positive things that they can do, man, these kids are going to change the world one day. I can guarantee that.
You are definitely a force, Chloe, and it's so great to have. It's great to have you on a Monday. It starts our week off. I've got to say, I went to your website and I was reading some of your blog, the blog that really made me laugh out loud. And this is the part of it as well with Daisy. You know, she just makes us laugh a lot. And the condition of autism, it can make us laugh as well. You know what children do and the attitude. But your blog about things not to say to autistic people, I thoroughly recommend it. It's Princess Aspian. We'll give the details out of your website, Chloe. But it's things and it's all the things you shouldn't say. And there's this bit here about, aren't we all a little bit autistic? And you go on and say, I guess we're all a little bit blind. I guess we're all a little bit paralysed. And it brings it back home. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do struggle when you say, and you usually get the wee thing like, oh, bless her. Oh, bless her. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like, well, you know, and understand the reasons and the sentiment behind it. It's, you know, bless. But you and other people we've talked about say, right, she's marvellously autistic. You know, she's autistic and rejoice in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, yes, there's hard parts of it. I'm not going to beat around the bush and say autism is always this magical, wonderful, like, rainbows and sparkles, because it's not. It's really hard sometimes. And I understand that. I've lived with it for 23 years, man. I know it's hard. But there's a lot of really awesome parts about it too. And I'm not going to let society and other people tell me that I have to focus on these bad things. I'm not going to let other people tell me, oh, you have autism. That's like, ew, yuck. Sorry to hear that. Maybe if you didn't get vaccinated, you wouldn't have autism. Yes. Like, I'm autistic. And yes, I'm going through some things because of that. But who isn't going through some things? Let's look at these really freaking awesome things that I can do because I'm autistic, and focusing on these things that I can do because of difference rather than in spite of it.
So the thing that really struck me about Chloe is, she doesn't hide away from the fact that things are challenging for her. She talks openly about that. But the one thing that I really came away sort of having listened to that with was she sounds so proud to be autistic. And how amazing is that? That's just such a lovely way to look at things. And I think for me as a mum to Daisy, I'm proud of Daisy, especially at the moment with just how far she's coming on. But yeah, just I felt really positive listening to Chloe, really positive.
I think that pride, you're right. I don't think it's easy to get to a place of being proud of your child. Generally, to be honest,
I never had that. You've never been proud of me whatsoever.
But actually, when you've got a child with a learning disability, the progress can be slow, and there can be less sort of moments that you sort of think, oh, I'm really proud. But speaking to people like, well, Max in our first series, yeah, and Chloe, who have just talked about the way that they sort of almost see it as a superpower, yeah, and it is, and I'm exactly the same as you. I feel proud of where Daisy is at because of the challenges she's had and the fact that she she blasts through them, you
and
know.
She can't talk, and no. You just think she's just powering through stuff, and it may be that she's not at the same level. I mean, you read the HCP and you think, okay, well, she's not at that stage yet, she's not at that stage. And it's very easy to think, okay, that all sounds really negative, but actually, despite all of her challenges, she just powers on through, and that I just think is incredible.
Yeah, it's what I liked about Chloe as well was, we mentioned she's an advocate for diagnosis of girls with autism, but she does talk to school, she talks to them, more or less what we're trying to do is to raise awareness and try and get more information. And I think that's a superpower as well. She's just gone, okay, this is what I need to talk to people who don't quite get it. And the one thing we've garnered from the people we follow on Twitter as a result of the podcast is how much the learning process happens. You know, with us, we've talked about we're growing up with Daisy because she's teaching us things again about ourselves, about you know, learning how to converse again and learning how to look at situations, not just the kind of when we go out and we have to do the apology thing if she does something and we say she's autistic, but just actually being aware of other children and not going and condemning them, actually saying, there might be an issue there, you know.
Do you know, that's one thing that really struck me as well, is because I think you both asked her the question about, you talked about us saying, oh, she's autistic, and sort of having to explain that. And the one thing she said was that she wants there to be a world where you don't have to do that, because people look and don't judge. They see it as a situation where someone's having a challenging time, whether that be the child or the parents or both. But actually, what I also took from that was that she didn't sort of deem it to be inappropriate that we were doing that. No. And I felt quite reassured by that. I think that was
I think the one thing that kind of tweaked me a wee bit was how much of that, of reaction from other children, and other people, is Daisy aware of?
Yeah.
We know that she listens, but if she gets pushed out the way, or mind you, with Daisy, she
pushes the other way around.
But is she aware of her superpower? Is she aware of that, and is she aware that other people don't quite understand it?
Well, I think that's on us. I think, you know, had we not done this podcast and had we not spoken to the people that we'd spoken to, maybe we wouldn't have that outlook on autism. And I think it has actually really informed our sort of way of thinking around it. But it's on us to teach her that what her autism doesn't define her. It's a sort of attribute to her character, and she should see it as a plus in so many ways. It will provide challenges, and there are difficulties, but you know, things like, we know that even though she is, and Daisy's teachers have told us, even though she is classed as being behind educationally, we know that is almost entirely informed by the fact that they can't communicate with her.
Yeah.
Because there's no way of knowing what she knows without being able to get the information back. And I think once we get to that point where she is coming back with information, I think it will be obvious that we have got an evil genius on our hands.
I think that's it, isn't it? The biggest thing is being able to get her to be able to demonstrate her understanding. And unless you can verbalise that, it's very, very difficult. But I believe it's there. I believe her understanding of things is so good. And it's just that we're just missing those links of her being able to communicate. And that's what Skye is actually working on, and the school with her AAC book. And it's what we need to do more of at home as well. But I think it's just all there. It's just getting it out, isn't it? So.
But just going back to what you were saying there about Chloe saying that actually she wants to get to a world where you don't have to say she's autistic, but equally, she wasn't saying that's a bad thing. I think, you have to highlight. You do have to get to that place where you don't have to highlight. There's a period of time where you have to say and almost show the world how common it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the kids that you see in the park who might be badly or seem badly behaved might be undiagnosed.
Yeah.
You know, they might just not be on the same path, and they might just have
struggles. I think as well is, everything's heightened for us as well. So like the whole thing about the clock interaction we get now. The, you know, that she smiles when I go around the clock and point out the numbers. Yeah. 1, 2, and she really smiles. And I think eventually I'll get to 12, because I always pause on the number 12. And one day she will just go 12, get as close to it as you can.
Yeah.
But she knows there's annoyingness to her as well, which I think has come from the work. And I said before the podcast that maybe we now need to have a chat with some of her therapists with Sky and just say, listen, what can we now do to enhance what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 eggs.
3 eggs. 1, 2, 3.
Is that good?
Cheese.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? And we sort of have this battle sometimes of knowing how much we should be doing at home. We've sort of had conversations. I think we have a feeling that we shouldn't be pushing her too hard out of school, because she does need downtime. She needs that chilling out time and sort of regulation time. But actually, it's about, without having set therapy sessions, how we start introducing it into everyday conversation and life, how we use that book to help her advance her communication and broaden her sentences, all those things. But yeah, I think we'll get there.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I definitely think she's going to be Scottish, which is perfect.
Do you know what? It would really make me laugh if she had an accent.
If she started talking with a Scottish accent.
Or like really Essex.
No, I just
would. That'd be
all nice. Right, Grandpa. That seemed like a good time. We better do our wind up now of things that we got out joy this week. Who's going to go first?
Do you want me to? I hope I don't steal yours. Yours
you better
might
not.
Be the same.
Go on.
It might be the same.
Go on.
So we, Daisy has a little bit of money allocated to her that initially was supposed to be for one-to-one swimming lessons, but obviously they haven't been able to happen because of the pandemic. So one of the things that the money can go towards is horse riding lessons. Now, Daisy isn't obviously able to go horse riding at the moment. It's a little bit dangerous, but what these stables have allowed us to do is take her along just to get her familiar with the horses and the ponies. So for a long time, Daisy had completely lost all interest in animals, which I found heartbreaking because I love animals. So we took her along. She'd already started to show a bit more interest in birds and things, hadn't she? And just the way she was. So basically, we were allowed to go around all the stables. They told us the ones to avoid. The first thing that made me laugh was that she gave us some carrots, which she instantly gave to Daisy. And as soon as she handed them over, I was like, no, she's going to eat them. And what did Daisy do? She started eating the carrots. But then we showed her how to give them to one of the horses. And as it was taking this carrot out of her hand, the giggle that came out of her was just the most magical sound I have ever heard. And then to top it all off, and I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, but there were lots of chickens running around the stables. Daisy just decided that the chickens were far more interesting than the horses and proceeded to spend the next 15 minutes chasing the chickens around the stable. And it was just beautiful. It's just made my year so far. So that's me.
Yeah, she's done with mine.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, you haven't. No, actually, mine, I've already mentioned it, was the car wash this week. And just what was lovely was as soon as she said to you that she wanted to go and she tottered out the door, wanted to go straight to the car, went straight in, and she was, every time I mentioned, we're going to the car wash, she smiled every single time. And then the whole way through, she was giggling and looking. And the bit, I mean, I don't know what the guys at the car wash thought, but she was sort of waving to them through the window and they were doing the pre-jet wash.
And she
just loves it, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, the car's cleaner than it's ever been.
Apart from the inside window where she's been rubbing her hand across. Yeah.
The bit I'm really enjoying is the playoff she does between us, right? So you came round the other day and dropped her off after school. And she came in and she just put her feet up for me to take the shoes off. Right, Grandpa. And she sat in the thing and went, Grandpa. And Daddy from the doorstep, because he can't come in at the moment, going, you take your shoes off. You can do it. You take your shoes off. And she just kind of looked at me, and I went, oh, no, I was going to take them off anyway. But she got that thing. She knows that I'll do it, and I know I shouldn't do it. Yeah. But I just loving that kind of thing of she's aware that Daddy's there, and Grandpa's here. He's the softie. And then she did it again when you came over today. And I just love that fight. And then, you know where the shoes go, and she did completely ignore me. Fantastic. Which is, it's a joy for me as a grandpa going, oh, yes. Yeah. The cycle is complete.
Do you know what? It's a real, I'm pretty certain we should put Attenborough just watching your house when Daisy's there, because it's a real it's a complete flip of the adult-child relationship. Because in any species, the adult's in charge, usually, and the child is sort of reliant. But, God, when Daisy comes to yours, it's completely the other way around. It's just sort of, you just watch her, and actually it's almost more funny from the doorstep, because you watch her go in. I dropped her off Friday, and you watch her go in, do that with the shoes, and I say blah, blah, blah. And then you watch her walk off into the lounge, through, grabs Grandpa's hand, through to the kitchen, and then comes out without him with an ice lolly. Because basically she's gone, go on then, give me an ice lolly. And then he's given her it, and he's spent the time sort of putting the wrapper away and stuff.
Oh, no, I sometimes get her to put the wrapper in the bin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a slave driver, aren't you?
It's only when she's passing. Put it in there. Thank you very much for listening. We'll have another guest for you next time. We've had some great guests, and we're learning so much. And please keep in touch with them. We hope they're helping these. We know they're helping us as a family, and we know now we're, as Lou was saying, we're right in the middle of a great period. We don't know how long it'll last for this time, but we're just going to carry on doing it and being joyous of how things are going at the moment. I hope things are going well for you. You can contact us.
Daisy and Me Pod on Twitter, and Daisy and Me Podcast at gmail.com via email.
When you go to the car wash, can I come the next time?
Yeah, you can if you want. Yeah.
Start a car wash
trip. Who would get more excited? I think probably him.
I'll definitely wave at the boys.
Yeah.